I invite you to stand as you are able. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the good news of Jesus Christ according to Matthew, the 22nd chapter, beginning at the first verse. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. The introduction. During the last week of his earthly life, Jesus tells a third parable about admission to the kingdom of heaven. Knowing the story of the feast in Isaiah 25, his first audience would naturally associate a king's banquet with the inauguration of the era beyond the end of time. The reading of the Holy Gospel. Once more, Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet.' But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his businesses, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet.' Those slaves went out into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, 'Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?' And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" The Gospel of Christ. I speak to you in the name of God, God the Creator, God the love an energy of life, and God the Holy Spirit, the ongoing creation of the world. Amen. Please be seated. Quantum physics is something we've been looking at for the last while. And we've been striving to figure out what's going on with this new revelation of science that began roughly 100 years ago, and trying to understand the science in terms of our theology. And it's been a struggle, and a lot of the church has decided to ignore it. But there have been courageous people, starting with Théard de Chardin in about 1930, and moving forward to today, courageous people who have said, this is the way God has created, this is the way things are, materially in the world, and we have to wrestle with this and understand it in a spiritual context. And there's more and more work being done in the whole area of exploring quantum spirituality. It is the work of our own century is going to be looking at quantum spirituality, and more of the church, including the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Church, are looking more seriously at this whole field and its implications for us. So we've been working at this since August, and we're coming to the end of my series at this. I hope to be done by the end of this month or the first Sunday of November. but it's the work of the church that's going to be ongoing. And what's so important about it and vital about it is that the insights we gain from this, we can pass on to our family. Our family who look at the world and look at the church and what they hear being proclaimed in the popular press and in the streets about what Christianity is and saying, hoo-hoo, that's not for me. We now can talk to them in a way that has foundation in a reality that's been demonstrated and found, and say our faith is a continuing of the understanding of God from the centuries past, but we want to refresh it in terms of what we know to be true today. So it's critically important. And I want to go through a few things today about God and about the Trinity. Quantum physics has much to say about understanding what the world and the universe are really like. People have often thought in the past that science and religion are in opposition. That's a false dichotomy. That's been set up at the time of the Enlightenment because the church itself could not be bothered with what science was saying. And it was further proven when we have the whole insights of quantum physics. But it's a false dichotomy. And I want to understand that God was never outside of creation. The Big Bang is God. And I think that's pretty important understanding. The way it came to be, and understanding this is the work of modern theology. God did not create from nothing. That's an understanding that we picked up from the Old Testament, but it's not true. God did not create from nothing. Rather, God's energy imploded, went in, and exploded, went out. And it's God who is the creation, God's self. And God's self is in us. And so thus created everything from self because there was nothing else. Creation becomes a literal expression of divinity and continues as such today. The divine energy has been around for 13.7 billion years. It's evolving and growing in the universe. And so we have energy, and part of us is traces back to the Big Bang itself. God is in us. We are in God and God is in us. Not God is being outside of us. That is a false understanding. And we're going to be healthier as a people if we start to understand God is present within each of us. And we are also connected with each other. And God is in all things. Time followed this expression and began to exist as a part of creation. Milliseconds after God began the creation of himself into the universe, time was there. And scientists have now been able to measure in milliseconds to seconds to minutes the development of life. The first word of God happened, as I said, 13.7 billion years ago. The Bible is not the first word of God. Creation is. We are living in God's word. The first Bible is creation. The first Bible is creation and the ongoing evolutionary process since the Big Bang. Now, the quantum finding of non-locality demonstrates the ancient view of God's omnipresence. Non-locality means that the energy from the Big Bang, the energy of God, is everywhere at the same time. It's not just here, and then it's later there, and then it's somewhere else. It's everywhere at the same time. So that's why in earlier sermons I mentioned that if you lost a part of yourself, and like a finger, and it was taken, say, 2,000 miles away, maybe to Saskatoon in Saskatchewan, and there was some upset in yourself, and they were measuring the finger would automatically register the same upset. That's part of what it means by non-locality. And it's been a mystery to scientists for a long time. It still is a mystery, but we know there's an energy connection that's faster. They think about a billion times faster than the speed of light. And that energy is a God connection that we have always with ourselves and always with everybody else. It's a fascinating understanding. God is omnipresent. God love is a vibrating energy connecting to everything. I mentioned last week about prayer. And when we pray, it's a vibration that we send out. And we're joined with others in prayer. Like we will, today, for instance, I'm thinking about Kim, who is a woman who is Dorothy's niece, who's dying. And we pray, we have, Anthea has our prayer list and our prayer group, and their prayers together form a vibration, and that vibration resonates with the creating vibration of God, and that makes a change. There's something happening. Moses vibrated with God and talked about what's going on in the first reading today. And there was a sense of God was in Moses and Moses was in God, and God was able to change because of Moses' intervention. Well, that same kind of intervention and vibration of connection happens today. And I think you've already got this by now, but God is not an add-on to the Big Bang. God is not an outside observer, but God is the Big Bang. God is the energy of the Big Bang. And God's presence is the first coming, as God loves creation by becoming the creation. Christ preceded Jesus, as Scripture demonstrates. It says in the Bible in John 1:1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." That is an understanding that Christ was from the beginning of creation. And so we often think that Jesus sort of was in earth and then at the crucifixion resurrection became Christ. Maybe that's when people recognized it, Jesus as Christ, but Christ was from the beginning. Christ has always been a part of the creating God force. And in the Big Bang, Christ is there. Christ's role we're going to talk about next week and our understanding. But one of the things to take away about Christ to think about is that Christ is the unifier. Christ is the container. I talked in the summertime about the divine matrix that we understand through quantum physics. We're all a part of that divine matrix. But Christ is the teacher about what that means to be a part of the divine matrix. Christ taught us about love, the nature of God. God transcends creation with our DNA as a sign of divinity in all of us and in all creation. So that's pretty powerful when you think all of us here in the hall, plus all of you at home, plus everybody else around the planet Earth, we are connected. We can find the same DNA map in any one of us. It doesn't matter what our skin color is. It doesn't matter what our language is. It doesn't matter what our religion is, or no religion. We are connected, and we are connected in DNA. But not only that, our DNA connects us to more than just humans. All animal life on the planet has DNA, and our DNA and their DNA is connected. We are a connected people. And even beyond that, again, another sign of God's creating power is that even the trees have some DNA in them, which you will find in us. Also, fish have some comparable DNA together. So we are all one. And that is a whole new understanding for a lot of people. We are not outside. We are not called to use, which is the Old Testament idea. We're not called to use the planet. We are called to be with the planet in concert and walking forward together. Next slide, please. What that leads to is a term that's ancient term that went out of usage about 500 years ago. But people for the first 1,000 years of the life of the church understood a term called divination. Now, divination is not something to be afraid of. Divination, I remember as a boy on the farm in Quebec, we would have the diviner come to find water, called the water witchers. You probably had them here too. And the divination is a sign, really, that there's a relationship, a deep, inborn relationship of the divine in each of us. God lives in us, and we live in God. And that term of divination is a very vital, important understanding. We are in God, and God is in us. And quantum science has demonstrated this, that we are never disconnected from creation. We are always one. We're never outside. So as progressive Christians, we affirm in quantum spirituality practice that we are a part of the undivided Trinity through creation and the energy of creation, which is still alive and creating and expanding and evolving the universe to which we belong. May God bless us all in this journey of oneness with God. Amen.